Porsche, everybody. Hey. All right. I think we're done with the hour. I am very honored by that. That means a lot to me. Thank you very much, everybody. Well, it was my New Year's resolution to lose 15 pounds this year. I've only got 25 pounds to go. Little by little. I gained 10 pounds just for that joke. That's how dedicated I am. I learned there are milestones in putting on a few pounds. Little moments where you go, hey, that was new. It used to be I would put on my underwear and that was it. I just get on with my day. Then you put on a few pounds, you put on your underwear, you bend over, and your waistband flips down. You stand back up, and it flaps back into place with an awkward little snap. Whoa, that hurt and felt nice. Then you put on a few more pounds, you bend over, and your waistband flips down. And when you stand back up, it doesn't flap back into place. Hey, where was the awkward little snap? Well, I just hit a brand new milestone. The other day, I put on my underwear. I didn't even have to bend over. My waistband just flipped down. I think. I'm at the point I have to ask, is my underwear on? What I know. You get some interesting compliments when you put on weight. I had a woman come up to me after a show and she said, you are so smart to wear vertical stripes. Hey, thank you. That's very cagey how you threw a cloak over an insult with a compliment. That's like saying, you are so gracious not to show your ugly face in public. Have you heard? People think I'm smart and gracious. Somebody told me TV adds 10 pounds. I didn't believe it until I was watching this nature show about ants, and I was like, whoa! Those things look like they weigh 10.0001 pounds. I immediately called the exterminator. I'm trying, man. I have a trainer, a woman. We play tennis. She beats me every time. And a couple weeks ago, I beat her for the first time, and she didn't say anything, and I thought that was weird. I didn't want to say something. I beat you! It's okay, we're putting the rackets away, and she says, my husband and I have an announcement to make. And I'm like, ah, what's that? She goes, I'm 5 months pregnant. So I beat a pregnant woman in tennis. I beat the both of you. Neither of you could handle this action. Tennis is weird. The scoring system per game in tennis is mathematically ludicrous. It doesn't make even a little bit of sense. First of all, there's no zero. If you don't have any points, you have to say love. If you don't say it like that, your opponent gets upset for some reason. How many points do you have, Brian? I think you know. I've never touched the ball ever. I have zero. You have love. It don't feel like it. Why do you have to say it like that? You don't say it like that with other things, like your checking account. Oh, no. I've got love. Be careful. That's the smart part of the scoring system. If you get your first shot in, he'll go, you got 15. No, that's not possible. We just arrived. You get the next shot in, you get another 15 to a total of 30. Oh, okay, I got it. Say no more. But you get the next shot in, you get 10 points to a total of 40. No explanation as to why this ratio is any different from the first two volleys. 10, so say the random gods. I award 10 at this juncture for no apparent reason. If both of you have 40, that's deuce, which I thought meant two. And if you get the winning shot in, there's not even a point value. He'll just go, game. How many points did I get? Game. What are you worried about points for? I thought we were keeping a ridiculous tally. All that mental gymnastics is out the window. Love 15, 30, 40 game. How come somebody didn't go to that first meeting, that first scoring system meeting? I know I'm late. And I hope I'm not out of line. I see all that trigonometry you have on the board, and I can only imagine you've already discussed this, but instead of that, why not 0, 1, 2, 3, 4? Okay, Charlie. You hear Charlie's idea? Charlie thinks little numbers is better than love, 15, 30, 40, deuce, my ad, 30, 50, your ad. He thinks little numbers is better than all that. Another thing I don't like about tennis, why are you allowed 2 tries for every single serve? You get a mulligan every serve? Give me the ball back. I hit it in the net. Give me the ball back. Don't I get a point? No, we're playing the most lenient game in the history of sports. I can make error after error after error after error and still somehow be in this game. Give me the ball back. Give me the ball back. The hell? Can you imagine seeing that in other sports? A quarterback looking at a defensive back with a football. Give me the ball back. Where do you think you're going with that? Bring that ball back. I did not want to throw that interception. Get a ball back. So why in tennis do they allow that? That just encourages people who play 3 times in their whole life. They know every first shot is a freebie, so they try to land some rocket that don't have a chance in hell of ever touching down on the planet Earth. Boom! They hit some shooting star across the street. It lands on the roof of some warehouse. They know the next one has to get in, so they morph into a completely different player. Boink! Hey, you want to explain what that first scud was all about? We got 3 balls in the can. Relax. You see little Wimbledon boys running these down? And if it goes over the fence, I'm not going to get it. Ball's over the fence, Brian. He's like, how many do we have left? Love. Let's get out of here. Well, there have been some changes in our country since last time I was here. I don't know if anybody saw that blurb in the back of the newspaper, but I believe there's a new president. I don't think I've ever been more afraid to bring up a subject in my life. Not politically, socially, you know? Just going to barbecues. Are we going to be talking politics or are we going to be having fun? I just want to play horseshoes. I don't want to be yelled at. I just saw the Hatfields and McCoys peel out. They couldn't take the tension. calm down. No matter what a president does, somebody's going to be unhappy. You know, there's controversy about every decision, like whether or not we should put boots on the ground in the Mideast. Some say yes, some say no. I think when you hear that term, though, boots on the ground, you assume that means soldiers in those boots. I say we drop a bunch of boots on them. Plane load after plane load, just keep shoving boots out. They won't know what hit them. They'll be like, what is with all these boots on the ground? Just keep dropping our best boots till they're up to their neck in them. There's too many boots on the ground. You ever try to be evil when you're up to your neck in boots? It's practically impossible. Problem solved. Speaking of problems, I read this headline. This blew me away. Apparently, the Israelis and Palestinians are not getting along. When did that happen? I go on a short vacation. I don't know how they're going to solve their issues. They've tried violence. That hasn't worked. Nothing's worked. But you know what they haven't tried? And I think it's worth a shot. They haven't tried a good dad. Because a good dad can solve a problem in 30 seconds. I say we send a good dad over there. What in the hell is going on over here? Well, he started it. No, he started it. I don't care who started it. Knock it off. Why are you fighting anyway? Well, this is mine. No, it's mine. How about if it was neither of yours? Would you like that? How about if I took it away from both of you? You don't like that so much. Figure out how to share it. Say you love each other. Get a good night's sleep. We're going to have a fantastic day tomorrow. If that doesn't work, I have another proposal. They should make a rule that you can no longer answer a question with a question, because that leads nowhere. And that's how they answer everything about that conflict. Should you guys be shooting rockets? Should they be building settlements? Whose was this 100 years ago? Whose was this 1,000 years ago? All great questions. Now that I know it's okay to answer a question with a question, I'm going to use that the next time a cop pulls me over. Do you know how fast you were going? Do you know why you like eating donuts? Looks like we're at a stalemate. Hey, this is cool. Kim Jong-un is one of my Facebook friends. Believe it. He's always liking my stuff.
I like that.
Thanks, Kim Jong-un. I read recently, absolute truth, they said Kim Jong-un is considering outlawing sarcasm in North Korea. Wow. I wonder if he proposed that to his team and one of his generals said, oh yeah, that'll work. I don't understand North Korea's public relations program. They keep releasing pictures of Kim Jong-un looking through binoculars. Is that supposed to intimidate us? Listen, if you can see your enemy through binoculars, you've already lost. I've been watching these Senate hearings. Those things are bizarre. The way they talk to each other at that level is so strange. At our level, if we don't like somebody, we say something like, hey, I don't like you. At that level, they're nice for 4 minutes, and on the fifth minute, they kick them in the teeth. First of all, I want to thank you for coming down here and answering our questions today. On a personal note, I've had the pleasure of working side by side with you on the Armed Services Committee. I know you care a lot about your constituents. I know in the education bill, you've done a lot of work in that regard, and I know you care a lot about charities, and that's all to be commended. Why do you lie, cheat, and steal? I went to one city council meeting. Man, was I disappointed. These people wanted to build a building that was higher than what the law allowed. So I didn't know why there was a meeting. Can I go to a city council meeting? I'm tired of stopping at red lights. Yet there was a meeting to discuss this. The guy representing the building said, all right, here's the deal. The law right now is a building cannot be any taller than 30 feet. But my clients want to build a building that's 700 feet. So clearly we need to compromise. I have a proposal for a 657-foot building. City Council just approved this thing. And everybody left. And I wish I had done this. I wish I would have said, excuse me, before we wrap up, I have a final proposal for the City Council. Right now, the law is I'm not allowed to rob any liquor stores. But I want to rob 100 liquor stores. So clearly we need to compromise. I have a list of 50 liquor stores. I love doing this, man. I get to travel. I was just in Atlanta, went to a Braves game. You know the controversy about team nicknames and mascots and stuff? It was weird. I was in the stands at the Braves game, and everybody was going, bunch of overweight white people. Give me another big gulp. And a third foot long. Should we be doing this? This feels inappropriate somehow. I don't think they meant anything by it, but same thing when I was in Toronto at the Blue Jays game, and their fans were going, I don't think they meant anything by it. They were playing the Orioles. This fan chirp-off night. It was getting ugly. If a player makes a good play, he'll often jump up and yell, "That's what I'm talking about!" I'm not good with impressions. He'll jump up and yell, "That's what I'm talking about." Well, how do I know? I think they should be required to show the proof. Let's say they make a good catch in the end zone and yell, "That's what I'm talking about." They should whip out an iPad. In fact, this is me from an interview just last evening. In tomorrow's game, it's going to be very important for us to get into field position. The defensive back on me is one of the best players in the league. It's going to be very challenging the whole game for me to get open. In the last 2 minutes, I'm going to make a nice little head fake and get open in the corner of the end zone. The throw will not be good. I'll have to reach out and grab it and do everything I can to keep my feet in bounds to make the go-ahead touchdown. See? That's what I was talking about. You know what kills me? Post-game press conferences. They still haven't learned. You need to put a microphone on the people asking the questions. This drives me crazy. They have the table. They have the coach or the athlete sitting at the table behind a microphone. So they know about microphones. You're at home watching this waste of time. That was a coaching decision. Three, maybe four. Definitely. Complete waste of everybody's time. Waste of everybody's time. Wasting everybody's time. So if I was the athlete, I would give ridiculous answers. Nothing makes any sense anyway. Might as well have fun with it. Probably pterodactyls. Makes as much sense as what they're doing right now. They do that at police press conferences. When you need to hear what's happening, because something's going down, no one has figured out, you need to mic the people asking the questions. It blows my mind. You turn on your TV, the police chief's there, he's sweating. You're like, what's happening? This is what you're taking in at home. We don't know how they're all escaping. Nunchucks and flamethrowers. Yes, we think they're hiding in that neighborhood. I'm not making that up out of thin air. Watch a press conference. That's what you'll get out of it. Talking about sports. My favorite sport, well, everybody's favorite sport, is cigarette boat racing. Our national pastime. I was watching a sports highlights, and they showed a cigarette boat just flying across the top of the water, and then all of a sudden, it did this business. And I'm thinking, what happens in the captain's mind at that moment? Okay, we're gonna have a bad day now. Three backflips, hit the water, and exploded into nothing but flotsam and jetsam. And I swear the sportscaster said, the driver suffered a broken toe. I could understand him saying, all they could find was the driver's toe. And it was broken. And they put it in a splint and helicoptered off to a trauma center. Here he is. Where should we put Cap and Crunch? He broke his toe. How do you break your toe cigarette boat racing? What is he, flipping in midair? Oh no, I'm gonna get wet. Let me see if it's gonna be cold. He's gotta go to parties with his toe bandaged. Cigarette boat racing, you know it. You want to initial my cast? I saw another thing on the sports highlights. At some basketball game, at halftime, they brought a fan down to the half-court line, and he made a half-court shot, and the crowd went nuts. And I was like, wow, what was the prize? And they said the prize was tater tots for life. That's a prize. That's a curse. I would have missed on purpose. What happens if this goes in? Tater tots for life. Who wants to deal with that for the rest of their life? You'd be answering tater tot questions 30 years from now. Are you the tater tot guy? You made that tater tot shot, didn't you? Do you still like tater tots? Do you eat tater tots every day? If you don't feel like having tater tots, can you bring a friend and pretend like you're ordering tater tots for yourself and actually slide them over to your friend? Or do they monitor that? How do they monitor it? They give you a card, they click it like a dozen donut thing? You like talking about this on your deathbed? Listen, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but I'm just going to put this out there. I have enough money to buy tater tots for the rest of my life. I got that kind of coin. Sure, I'm lucky. I can surround myself with financial advisors. We spent about a month crunching the numbers, looking at spreadsheets, comparing data, analyzing algorithms. It turns out you need $64. Our national pastime is baseball. I like baseball. I like the home plate umpire job. They call balls and strikes, which I think are equally important to the game. So why is an umpire's reaction to a ball or a strike so markedly different? When it's a strike, an umpire lets everybody know. But when it's a ball, sometimes an umpire don't do nothing. I'd feel bad if I was a pitcher and I put all kinds of effort into my pitch and an umpire just went. I'm gonna waste my time with this kind of nonsense. But then when it's a strike, are you open to suggestions? Why not split the difference in those reactions? Because when it was a ball, I didn't know anything had even transpired. And when it was a strike, I thought your chest might explode. It's a hard job. You have a lot of close plays at the plate. That's why I think the home plate umpire should be allowed one shrug per game. Use it whenever you need it. I don't know, cloud of dust and a hearty hi-ho. What do you want from me? You think I saw something in that billow you didn't? I don't know why players argue with umpires. Every game you'll see a player argue with an umpire, and I've never seen an umpire change his mind ever. So why would you waste your time? Has that ever worked? You ever see a guy sliding into home? You're out! You're crazy, man! He missed the tag! I had my hand. Okay, okay, safe. Ah, I don't like conflict. I tend to shy away from that. Go ahead, give him a run. No, it's okay. I didn't know about the yelling. It's okay, give it to him. Baseball has interesting traditions. Why do baseball coaches wear uniforms? What's going on? Imagine a hockey coach on the sidelines wearing full goalie gear. Give it your all, fellas. Who's the guy in the goalie mask? So So why is it normal in baseball? They look silly, especially the ones who have put on a few pounds, sitting in the dugout, pinstripes this far apart. Looks like somebody made a jailbreak out of his torso. I think I might pinch run today. I'll just sit here and eat Funyuns. My dad coached me in Little League Baseball. He coached all eight of us and worked a full-time job. Wonderful man. So is my mom. My mom is one of the most wonderful men that I've ever... Wonderful people. Guess what joke's going to be fixed? On the... Maybe that's it. Maybe I don't know how to say anything sincere. My mom is a wonderful man. Okay, Chuckles. My mom and dad are wonderful. They're both still around. We're very fortunate. They're both funny. My dad has an interesting sense of humor. Very dry, yet silly simultaneously. He says silly, nonsensical things with a straight face. If you laugh, great. If you don't laugh, he enjoys that more. He says things like, "Biddly on bombawebe." Don't try to make sense of it. We'd be in a restaurant and the waitress would go, "Do you want appetizers before dinner?" "Biddly on bombawebe." "What are you doing, Dad?" "Just having fun." "How is that fun for her?" Another thing he says, "Bick, bick, bickadabang," means nothing, especially to the cop that pulled us over. Coming back from a family picnic, "Can I see your license and registration, sir?" "Bick, bick, bickadabang." We're in the back of the station wagon. "Daddy's going to jail." We love that about him. Still do. But now he's at a time in his life where they're trying to figure out what level of care he needs. And this is how he's talking to medical professionals. And it's getting murky. I was in the room with him, and the doctor walked in. "How you doing, Walt?" And he said, "Biddly on bombawebe." I had to be the interpreter. "Oh, that's fantastic. He's doing great." He wouldn't say that unless he was doing great. Doctor's looking at me like, "Yeah, okay. You been taking your medications, Walt?" "Bick, bick, bickadabang." "Oh, you know he's taking them." He would never say that unless he was on meds. I tried to call him the other day. I knew my sister was with him, so I called her cell phone. I said, "Put Dad on FaceTime. It might be easier to talk to him that way." And I hear her say, "Brian wants to talk to you on FaceTime." And I hear him say, "What is FaceTime?" And she's like, "It's called FaceTime." He's like, "I've never heard of FaceTime." I'm like, "This is already off the rails." She gives him the phone. He has no idea there's a camera in there. He's just whipping it all over the place. I'm seeing his face zip by at the speed of light. I'm yelling, "Stop moving the phones! Aim it in one place! He thinks it's for audio reasons. He aims it at the corner of his room. I'm seeing a cobweb dangling. "Can you hear me?" "I always could hear you. Aim it at your face, Dad." So he sort of gets it, but not really. It's like two unfocused eyes. They don't know where to look. Like an alligator coming out of a swamp at a 45-degree angle. I'm like, "Hey, Dad, how you doing? Who is this?" "It's Brian. Who am I talking to?" I felt bad until he asked, "Who's that in the square up in the corner?" "Oh, that's you, Dad." "No, there's somebody in the corner looking at us." "That's Buck Rogers. He's watching us through space-time." He's funny. Sometimes you wonder, is he there? Do you know if he's there or not? And then he'll make a joke that makes you know, oh, of course he's there. He was eating donuts while I was talking to him on FaceTime. And I said, how's that donut, Dad? And he goes, has a hole in it. It's the most beautiful joke I ever heard. All right, Dad. My dad likes that awkward moment comedy when not everybody gets it. I like everybody in the lasso. My dad likes when there's one man out, you know. Here's an example. We recently had a family reunion. I drove my dad to the restaurant where we were all meeting. He and I get out of the car. We're walking in. He's an older guy. Doesn't walk very well. He's shuffling along. I said, Dad, you need help? He goes, no, I think I got it. I said, all right, I'm right next to you if you need me. He goes, all right. The hostess looks out and sees my dad shuffling along. She runs out into the parking lot and says, do you need help, sir? And he said, I asked my own son for help. And he said, no. That's funny, Dad. That's a funny joke. That's funny to two-thirds of us standing here. I'm trying to cover. My dad was joking. Oh, I bet. I bet he was. He explains nothing to her. He just walks right past her. Bidley on Bamba Webe. My mom is funny, too. But she's funny in a quirky way. My mom and dad sat me down when I was a kid. And my mom said, there's something we want to tell you, Brian. And I was like, okay. And my mom goes, we just want you to know that we named you after Thomas Jefferson. My name is Brian Joseph Regan. And she said, we named you after Thomas Jefferson. And they got up and they walked out of the room. And I heard them laughing in the hallway. I'm like, what was that? Was that a joke? Was that a life lesson? Why is this part of my child development? So I have some weird personality quirks. I wonder where they came from. One is I have to over-explain things. Like if I feel somebody doesn't understand something, I will say it again in another way. Sort of like that. Here's another example. I was on the road recently, and I was hungry, and I passed a place that said Mr. Frank. So I said, I'm going in there to get a hot dog. And I walked in and immediately realized it was a men's clothing store. This is weird. Your expectations are 180 degrees off. I'm expecting paper hats and guys slinging dogs. I'm seeing jackets and ascots. I'm like, this makes no sense. Before I could leave, a salesman came up and said, can I help you, sir? And instead of saying, no, thank you, and leaving, I said, I want a hot dog. So we just stared at each other for like 20 seconds. And he says, you know, this is a men's clothing store, right? And at that point, I knew that. And I was like, yes, I know. And then I turned around and walked out. And my guess is he tells that story more often than I do. I have two kids. I love being a daddy. I like playing board games with my kids. That's one of my favorite things to do. I love to get on the living room carpet and play Clue, where you have to guess what's in the envelope by process of elimination. I've never won ever. I don't know what my kids are doing that I'm not capable of doing, but I'm like, how did you win? And my son's like, well, when you looked at the last card and made a mark, I knew that because you didn't make a mark when the previous card, all right, my brain is getting hot. Already don't understand anything that you're saying. The only way I can eliminate something in the game Clue from being in that envelope is if somebody puts that card in my face. Colonel Mustard? I doubt he's in there. How can he be in two places? I learned something about the game Clue. If you ever show up somewhere and everyone's last name is a color, you might want to get on out of there. Ain't nothing good going down there. Especially if as you're leaving, you see a candlestick in the conservatory. Skedaddle. If a place even has a conservatory, blow that pop stand. If you ever hear someone say, I believe we should all retire to the conservatory. You know, we got a long drive. You all enjoy the conservatory. We're going to Google that and see what that means. I like the games when I was a kid. Trouble. They put the dice in a bubble because they knew we were stupid. If they weren't in the bubble, we'd lose them for sure. Boop, boop, I lost the dice. Utter in a bubble. Boop, boop, I lost them again. Utter in a bubble. I'm sensing a pattern. I'd like to see one of those in Vegas at the craps table. Baby needs a new pair of shoes. Boop, boop. We played Mousetrap. We played it differently than other families. The way we played Mousetrap is we would try to guess how far we would get into the setup process before we got frustrated and threw everything back into the box. Any game that needs a construction hat and blueprints. You know what intrigues me about the game Mousetrap? Knowing that this conversation had to have taken place at a conference table. Freddie, you had something you wanted to offer? Yeah. I was thinking swingy boot. Hit a bucket with a ball in it. So boot, bucket, ball. Anyway, that's all I got so far. That was mulled around by Milton and Bradley.
This has the makings of one of the best games in the world.
Hey, you want to destroy a family? I got a great way to destroy a family. There's a lot of techniques that everybody knows about. Alcoholism, drug abuse, gambling addictions. Those can destroy a family. But those take a while. You want to destroy a family quickly? Break out a game of scattergories. They should call that argument in a box. It's things at a beach. You can't say sandwiches. Why not? I just said sandwiches. You can't say sandwiches. It's things at a beach. Well, I eat sandwiches when I go to the beach. Doesn't matter. It ain't a beach thing, so I'm not going to allow it. Who's allowing you to be the guy who's allowing things? That's be a common sense beach thing, you moron. Something that's already at the beach when you get there. Something like an umbrella. An umbrella's already at the beach when you get there. Family's destroyed. That's a good holiday game. Break that out during the holidays and rip your family to shreds. Hey, here's something I don't think a parent has ever said. The kids are upstairs playing with all their old Happy Meal toys. I don't think a McDonald's Happy Meal toy has ever made it to sundown. Usually they break as you're taking them out of the cellophane. What is this? Oh, it's broken. Toss it into the trash receptacle. Even if you do get it to work, you never want to do it more than once. That's what happens. You push this button, it shoots at 4 inches. Throw it in the trash. Somebody shut that toy factory down. I love being a daddy. I like taking my kids to Disneyland. I love Disneyland. The only thing I don't like about Disneyland is the other people. Have you seen them there? What the hell are they doing there? Twice, while we were in line for a ride, the family that was behind us just got in front of us. The first time, I didn't even know what to do. I'm like, all right, clearly I don't have all the information here. They were behind us, and now they're in front of us. How come I'm not saying something? So the next line for the next ride, I was on red alert. Spread out, kids. Swing your hips. Swing them. Swing them rope to rope. You have to really be careful at the switchback. Hug the post. Hug the post. Hug the post. Because if you don't hug the post, some worm family. Worm people are on the planet. It happened anyway. I'm doing our best to protect our place in line. First, it was the little kids and the family behind us. They just got up in front of my kids. So my heart starts going. I look back thinking one of their parents will say, no, we're behind this family and have been for a half hour. That's what I was thinking should happen. But instead, the mom came up and said, what are you kids doing up here? What are you doing up here? I look back at the dad. Maybe he's the voice of reason. He just squeezes up the other side and he says, well, I guess we're up here now. That's what you guess? That's the guess you take under the circumstances? So this time I had to say something. I'm like, listen, we're behind this guy that's in front of you. It's been a half an hour. It's kind of hard not to know our place. The guy's got like a red mohawk and backgammon pieces in his earlobes. It's been him and then us for a half an hour. And now you guys are betwixt us. And the dad goes, okay, go ahead if it's that big a deal to you. It is. It's that big a deal to me. I want my family flying around on elephants before your family. Might sound absurd to you, but I like the way it makes me feel inside. Play me as the jerk. I wish I had handled it differently. I wish right when he would have stepped in front of me that I would have just reached into the pockets of his cargo shorts and just pulled out his belongings and just hurled them. Just as far as I could humanly hurl. And then just grabbed her purse and just whipped it into some distant flower bed, watching Disney receipts slowly descend back down to Earth. And then when they looked at me weird, I'd go, oh, I thought you wanted complete anarchy. Yeah, when you just step right in front of us in a clearly roped off line, I thought that was a signal that all semblance of right and wrong was out the window. I don't know what it is with people. I went to my nephew's high school graduation. I don't think I've ever been more disappointed in the human species in my life. I'm in the stands. This woman gets on the microphone. She tried so hard. She gets on the mic. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a wonderful day here with all these graduates. We're going to ask you in advance to please not applaud or cheer when your individual
child or friend is called, because we have way too many graduates, and it would not be fair to the people at the end of the alphabet. We're going to give everybody an opportunity at the end of the ceremony to give a big simultaneous round of applause for everyone. But please, when your individual child or family member is called, please don't applaud at that time. Okay, thank you in advance for understanding. Okay, here we go. Let's get started with our first graduate, Aaron Anderson. Yeah! Aaron! Aaron! Woo! Aaron! Aaron! Are we the smartest species? We're top of the food chain? I so wish, while he was yelling, that a clamp would have descended from the darkness of the ceiling, like one of those claw games, just right above him, and then just clamped onto his ribs and just pulled him up, a whooping and a hollering, a legs a flailing, just pulled him up into the darkness. I don't want him to die. I just never want to see him again. Gone. The decision some people make. I don't make good decisions. You ever agree to something that you wonder how you agreed to that? My brother-in-law was talking about his motorcycle, and he said to me, "You should go for a ride with me on my motorcycle." I was like, "Yeah, it'd be fun to go for a ride on your motorcycle." He goes, "All right, let's go." I'm like, "What the hell is happening?" So we get to his motorcycle. He's sitting on it. Hop on. Okay, hop. Can anyone hop onto a motorcycle? I don't think anyone has ever done that. So I tried to hop. Here comes Peter Cottontail. Hopping down the Harley Trail. Hop, you say? I don't even know how to get on the motorcycle. I'm like, "Can we rig up a footstool and a pulley system?" I finally get behind him, and I notice he doesn't have a back bar. It's just me and Street. High Street. So we haven't left yet, and I don't know how it works, so I put my arms around him. And he was like, no, that ain't happening. What are you, joking? You're joking, okay. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm joking." He's like, "You know you got little handles by your seat?" I'm like, "I know that." What? These two little handles. You're not allowed to sit in a car without some three-point harness system holding you in, but they'll let you sit in the back of a motorcycle like this. Good luck! So he tears away, and I'm like, "Wow!" I use every ounce of gut muscle I have to work my way back up. And he starts herking and jerking, and our helmets started clicking. Click, 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 click. What are you doing? That's Morse code for stop. Click, 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 click. Instead of stopping, he guns the gas. I go so far back, I feel my underwear waistband flip up. That's not the scariest experience I've had in a vehicle. When I was a kid, one time my parents let the four oldest boys in our family take the station wagon to go bowling. This is a true story. Mike is our oldest brother. He was like 17 at the time. And there was Pat and Dennis and then me. I was like 9. I'm in a bag.
And we were late coming home. And Mike said, oh, man, I told Mom and Dad we'd have the car back at 9. And I was like, hey. Is that a moon? I'm 9. He's like, no, man, they're going to be mad. And I was like, I didn't know what else to contribute, you know. Do your best under the circumstances. That's what I'd always been taught. So I was like, Mike, I know you want to get home quickly, and I don't know how to tell you this, but I have to pee. And he goes, well, that's tough, ain't it, Brian? Yeah. I never got that reaction out of Mom or Dad. Well, we got a new driver. It's tough. I said, Mike, I'm serious. I have to pee. And he goes, deal with it. Deal with it, Brian. Okay. Mike, I'm having trouble dealing with it. Do you have a backup plan? I swear, he goes, pee out the back window. Pee out the back window, Brian. And my other two brothers go, we'll hold him. Instead of talking him out of this ludicrous idea, they think it's worth a shot. So Operation Pee Out the Back gets underway. I get on my knees in the back of the station wagon. Mike's driving like a bat out of hell. And Pat and Dennis grab under my belt loops. There's a secure connection. So we all start moving our way back to the back window, this big three-headed blob. And I'm thinking, I don't believe we're doing this. Then I hear that dreaded, huh. Now, when we start this process, there are no cars behind us. So they hang on. I get out up over the tailgate. I look out. Now we're leading a convoy. And my brothers won't pull me back in. So I start peeing. This guy puts on his windshield wipers. Now, I don't know if you've ever peed out of the back of a station wagon at 60 miles an hour, but there's a surprise involved. It don't go that way. It starts that way, a stream, but it comes back a storm front. It's this weird auto aerodynamic nightmare. It's El Nino for El Nino. And I'm not just peeing on me, I'm peeing on Pat, and I'm peeing on Dennis, and I'm peeing on the back of Mike's head. And they're going, quit peeing on us, we're gonna let you go! I can't stop! You guys are great, thank you. You guys are absolutely wonderful, man. Thank you very, very much for coming out, and I hope you had a good time. I know I did. Good night.